The date and the place are unknown to me. And the story takes place during a job interview. A woman was asked to give her name, and she replied, "My name is Lily." The boss wanted to know why she was named Lily. And she said, "Well, my parents gave me that name because when I was born, a lily fell from the bouquet and landed upon me. And so they named me after that flower." Well, a couple hours later, he was doing a second interview. And he noticed that the last name was the same as this lily. And so he looked at this gentleman who, to be perfectly honest, he wasn't much to look at. He had quite a rough appearance. And he said, "So, sir, what is your name?" And with a crooked grin, he said, "Piano." I know it was bad. But names are important. Names are important, even to the people like Jonathan Barrington. Not Hanford. But Jonathan Barrington likes his name. But names are important to us because they often do more than just identify an individual. They can reveal who a person is, what he or she is like. And God goes by many different names in the Bible. In fact, a friend of mine, Pastor Kevin Corbin, has written a book called The Names of God. And he writes this: "By some counts, there are more than 800 names, titles, and metaphors for God in the Bible. Each describes a unique facet of his character or his work. And when we study those names and metaphors, we gain an intimate understanding of our Heavenly Father." These names provide us with at least two helpful truths. They help us identify the one true God. You see, the pagan nations, they worship false gods, and so one reason God gave us his name is so that we could know how he is different. And secondly, his name describes his character. And when we study what he goes by, we will actually get to know what he is like. And so we're going to begin a series this fall, or right now, this morning, for the rest of fall. We're beginning a series on some of the names of God. And names are important in our culture, but they were even more so in biblical times. In Proverbs 22, it tells us that a good name is more desired than great riches. You see, names didn't just distinguish or label a person. They were often thought to reveal their very nature of the individual. For example, the name Nabal. Now, I don't know if you can remember the story of Nabal, but Nabal's name means fool. And he lived out that name in 1 Samuel 25, where it says, "He is just like his name. His name is fool, and folly goes with him." Nabal was a very, very foolish man. In fact, just look it up yourself. 1 Samuel 25. The word, or the Hebrew word, Hashem, is a term for the name in the Old Testament. It literally means an individual mark and is communicated an individual's essence. In the New Testament, the word ho-onama, comes from the verb which means to know. Now, to know the name of God means to personally know his personality. And so during this series, it's my prayer that we will not just know who God is, but we will actually get to know him much more than we do right now. As we begin our study today, let me state four foundational principles. The first one is this: these names are given by God, not thought up by people. God is not some abstract thought or nameless power. He is personal. He is knowable. And one of the ways his personality is known is through the giving of his names. And so we ought to understand that he himself gives these names. It's not something we've made up. Secondly, each name of God reveals one of his qualities or characteristics. And we'll focus on one of these attributes each week and studying the multifaceted name. He's like a diamond. And each name that we reveal makes him more beautiful. And every facet and every corner and every name will appreciate his beauty like never before. And third, these names were given to God's people in order to help them through a moment of need. And it's my prayer that this series will not just be academic, but deeply personal and heart-changing, so that you will call out to him when you are in crisis. You will use his name. Names are like miniature portraits filled with promises given by God as a gift so that we can actually know him. And finally, these names, I hope you use them when you call out to God in prayer. While we learn the Hebrew names for God, I encourage you to memorize the English attributes and use them in your praise and your prayer times. So that when you are in need, you can call out to Jehovah Jireh, my God, my provider. Now I have chosen 10 names for our study. And I think that will help us grow deeper in our knowledge of God. There is God the Creator, Elohim. There is God the Lord, Adonai. God our peace, Jehovah Shalom. God our provider, Jehovah Jireh. God the covenant keeper, Yahweh. God the Almighty, El Shaddai. God who is there, Jehovah Shema. God the helper, Jehovah Rapha. God of power, Jehovah Sabbath. And God is my banner, Jehovah Nissi. So I hope that as we go through each one over the next 10 weeks, we will understand and get to know him better. But today, we're going to focus on the actual phrase, the name of the Lord. This is really a summary statement that refers to God's whole character. In Judges 13, verse 18, God's name is wonderful. And we're going to look at what the Bible teaches about the recognition of his name, our response to his name, and then we'll conclude with some results of knowing his name. Now, when I think about God, when I'm truly honest, I'm not sure he is the God that I would have chosen. The truth is, most often I would have chosen a God other than him. Most often I would rather not learn the hard lessons the hard way. I would rather not have to worship in the wilderness where God continuously calls me to find and be found by him. I would rather God simply met my expectations, fix my problems, heal my hurts, and be on his way. I want a God who is faithful to me in ways I understand and expect, who expresses faithfulness in the ways that I choose. That's if I'm honest. That's what I would like. But that's not who God is. And thankfully, I don't worship the God that I would like. That just sounded so wrong. I actually love the God that we have. One of the most helpful correctives to our selfish desires and egocentric expressions of prayer is to focus on who God actually is, not necessarily who we want him to be. So here's some statements that will help us grow in recognition of his wonderful name. His name is good. Psalm 52 verse 9 says, I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. Folks, never forget this. God is good even when bad things happen. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Never forget that. The second thing is this. His name is great. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 25 and 26, we see, "Do as you promised, so that your name will be great tomorrow." No, that's not what it says, does it? "So that your name will be great forever." There's no greater name than the name of God. It is such an incredible name. And His name is majestic. Psalm chapter 8. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And that means that His name, which stands out or stands for all that He is excellent and famous in all of the earth. There's no one else like Him. He is omnipotent. He is incomparable. He is majestic. I almost feel like we should pause and listen to S.M. Lockridge tell us who God is and describe Him for us. But that would be an additional 7 minutes of listening to Him talk. But God's name is glorious. Psalm 115, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory." The word glory encompasses all of His attributes. The word literally means heavy. It refers to the fact that God is weighty and awesome. And today we just throw out the word awesome. This is awesome. Everything is awesome. Right? Thanks, Lego Movie. Everything is awesome. But God is truly awesome. And we need to remember that His name alone deserves the glory. Because His name is holy. And when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He told them to begin like this: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name." His name must be set apart because He is holy. There's a song, "What Do I Know About Holy?" And when you begin to contemplate the concept of holy, it's like we are standing on the shore of His incredibly vast universe-wide ocean. And that is what holy is. And our feet are just getting our toes wet. That's what we understand about holy. And even though He is so incredibly holy and majestic and glorious and great, His name is near. God is high and holy, and yet amazingly, He also comes so close to us. He is both supreme and essential. Allow this truth to just penetrate you. He is not distant, but He is instead come to each one of us, so that we can get to know Him. Psalm 75 says, "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near. Men tell of your wonderful deeds." God is powerful. Most of all, God is personal. He's personal, and if you haven't heard it today, God loves you. He loves you. And once we recognize His name, we can't help but respond to Him. And here are some ways that we need to respond. We need to praise His name. The number one reaction to recognizing His name should be to break out into praise. The main reason we should focus on what He goes by is so that we can give Him what He deserves. In Daniel chapter 2, it says, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever." In Psalm chapter 7, it says, "I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." One of the clearest expressions of people praising the name of God is found in Psalm 113. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Yet let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets." The name of the Lord is to be praised. Now, there's this guy in the Bible, and his name is Job. And Job models for us that we need to praise him when our lives are full of problems, when our minds are mixed up with emotions. He says things like, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." I'm so thankful for Job, because I think that if I was in his situation, it would have been, "Naked I've come from my womb, or from my mother's womb, and I will depart naked. The Lord gave, and the Lord's taken away. Cursed be God." That's what all of his friends wanted him to do. But because Job knew the name of the Lord, he could praise him even though there was natural disasters had destroyed so many aspects of his life. His family had been taken from him. Enemies had come and thieved and stolen everything from him. He was left with disease and boils. And yet, he says, "May the name of the Lord be praised." We must praise God. And next, we really need to honor his name. God's name is so weighty that we must do all we can to honor it. In Leviticus 19, it says, "Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." We are to praise his name, not profane it. If you listen to society today, you would think that we're all so very spiritual. The phrase OMG is everywhere. You ever watch television? It's so nice that they bleep out some of the words, but anything to do with God, it's just like it's part of our speech. And we use his name so flippantly, in profane ways. Folks, we should tremble when we hear his name. We should just tremble when we hear his name being used in a profane way. We should make sure that we are not throwing his name around lightly. And God desires for us to use his name as we call out to him. Don't hesitate to cry out to him. As you read through the book of Genesis, it doesn't take long for people to call out to the Lord. In fact, Genesis chapter 4. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Only 4 chapters into the Bible, and they're already calling out to the name of the Lord. How long has it been since you called out to him in prayer? When we praise and honor and call on his name, we can't help but share his name with others. Don't keep it to yourself. I spoke to someone this week who told me that he has felt a desire to share Jesus with more and more people. Folks, we all need to do that more and more. "I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God," says Deuteronomy 32. Proclaim his name. What's the worst they can do? Say, "Hey, that's not for me." And maybe use his name in vain in that sentence. Tell you to go away and how to get there. Give you directions. Folks, proclaim the greatness of our God. Share him with everyone you can. And finally, the fifth response, because we have to have 5 at least somewhere in this sermon, is to love his name. There are many things in life that we can love, but we are to love his name above all. Isaiah 56 says, "To love the name of the Lord and to worship him." Can you honestly say that you love his name this morning? Do you love his name more than anything else? If you don't, then what needs to change? We must first recognize his name, and then we need to respond accordingly. And when we do, we can expect results. And one of the first things that we can expect is our hope will grow. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name, I will hope, for your name is good, says Psalm 52. If you struggle with discouragement, determine to put your hope in his name. You won't be disappointed. Our joy will increase. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing for, or let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Once we know his name, we can't help but be filled with joy. Conversely, if you aren't very joyful, could it be because you don't really know his name? Our worship will deepen. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today. That was a prayer by Nehemiah. When we grow in God, we will find incredible delight in worshiping him. And by the way, we live. And by the way, we commit ourselves to worship every Sunday, to individual worship every day. Our worship will deepen as we get to know him. And we will be fully satisfied. John Piper has stated it well. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. So do you feel unsatisfied today? It may be because you don't know God as well as you need to. If you're trying to stuff yourself with things, they can't satisfy. You're always going to be in constant need if you're hoping that the stuff of this world will satisfy. In him, your needs will be met in his name. It says this in Psalm 63. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. I don't know about you, but that resonates with me. The richest of foods, I understand. I understand being satisfied after a meal. We will be saved. Ultimately, to call on the name of the Lord brings salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it's a quote from the prophet Joel, and he says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Have you ever called on him for salvation? In order to be saved, you must know God, and you must know Jesus Christ. Do you? If you're ready to begin a relationship with the God who knows your name, call out to him right now. Tell him that you're a sinner, than that you can't save yourself. Repent from the way you've been living. Ask him to personally apply the work of Jesus on the cross to your account, where his blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. And receive the free gift of eternal life. Surrender to him, to his name, every day, and confess with your lips that you know him. Proclaim his wonderful name to others. Determine to know all you can know about him. But I suspect most of you here today are believers. So let me ask you a couple of questions today as we close. Are you geared up to really know God? Or are you just content to know a few facts about him? If you're serious about growing, ask yourself these questions. What's one thing that you can do to increase your enjoyment in God? What is the most humanly impossible thing that you will ask God to do this year? What is the single most important thing you could do to improve the quality of your family life? In what spiritual discipline do you most want to make progress? And what are you actually going to do about it? What is the most important way that you will, by God's grace, try to make in someone's life Jesus the most important thing? What thing could you do to improve your prayer life? What could you do to enrich the spiritual legacy that you will leave your children or your grandchildren? What single blessing from God do you want to seek most earnestly? And what is one area of your life that you need the most change in? Will you allow God to work with you? And as I look at this list, it strikes me that I probably could use some work. And not just one of these areas, but probably many. If I will go after knowing God like never before, I see a lot of these being accomplished. Are you with me? Will you commit to be here for at least the next 10 weeks? To roll up your sleeves and study the scriptures together. If you miss a Sunday, go to the internet. They're going to be on there. Study it on your own. Let's not take this lightly. Let's get to know Jesus and God better by who He really is. By knowing His name. By knowing God by name. I don't often pray prayers that someone else has written. But I came across one this week, written by A.W. Tozer, and I would like to close with it today. Let's pray. O Majesty unspeakable, my soul desires to behold Thee. I cry to Thee from the dust, yet when I inquire after Thy name, it is secret. Thou art hidden in the light which no man can approach unto. But Thou art cannot be thought or uttered, for Thy glory is beyond comprehension. Still, prophet and psalmist, apostle and saint have encouraged me to believe that I may in some measure know Thee. Therefore, I pray, whatever of Thyself Thou hast been pleased to disclose, help me to search it out as treasure more precious than fine gold. For with Thee shall I live when the stars of the twilight are no more, and the heavens have vanished away, and only Thou remainest. Amen.